Don't look back in anger, little oasis there. So, we're continuing our series, Breaking Bad. We've been looking at overcoming the seven deadly sins. These are kind of destructive tendencies that we have that kind of mess us up in life. They're things that reduce our spiritual potential. They're bad things that create havoc in our relationships with God, with other people. And if left unchecked, they're the kind of thing that'll destroy your life. Today we're focusing on anger. And this is one of these topics that people do the craziest things when they lose control of their temper. I mean, have you ever seen a young child throw a temper tantrum? One of our grandchildren, we will not mention a name, but one of them when they were little, they would throw these fits and they would hurl themselves to the floor and their arms and legs are flailing. It sort of looked like breakdancing, okay? Except there was screaming involved and at the top of their lungs. And you would think they'd gone mad. And Cindy would drag them into another room. She would tell them to get it out of their system and that they could come out when they were in a better frame of mind. She'd close the door and she'd walk away. Some, as toddlers, they throw these tantrums. Then grade school, we take it up a notch. We start the huffing and the puffing and the stomping and the brewing and stewing. And any of you that got grade school kids know how this goes. By high school, we start elevating things. We graduate to slamming doors, kicking lockers, ranting and raving, and we take this spewing to kind of a new level. And then moms throw pots and pans and knock over chairs. And grown men, well, you never know what they're going to do. I mean, it could range from household destruction to automobile abuse, you know, practicing profanity, the kind that just turns everybody's blood cold. And if you were observing them, you'd swear they'd gone mad. But these fits of rage, I mean, they're in the news all the time. You just look on the internet and you'll see stories. I was thinking about this past month and Sean P. Diddy Combs, he was in the news and he was arrested because of assault. And Sean had seen his son is defensive back for UCLA Bruins, and the coach yelled at his son. And so after practice, Sean heads to one of the coach's offices. And things escalate to the point that they call security in. And when he's being removed from the office, he picks up one of the kettlebells. That's one of the exercise equipment pieces. And he starts swinging. And he was arrested. He's waiting trial on that. You know, Major League Baseball, there have been numerous bench-clearing brawls this year. Resulted in record fines, ejection, suspensions. Can anybody say Alec Baldwin? Wow, he's been in the news a lot. Several very public anger meltdowns. You know, you got the one in the midst of bitter divorce, and he ends up leaving a very degrading, angry voicemail, and something he later regretted. Got the incident on the commercial flight. He was, plane was on the runway. He refused to turn off his phone. Why? Well, important. He was playing Words with Friends. All right. None of that this morning, okay? He becomes belligerent, and he used words that were not for friends, and he gets removed from the flight. And then who can forget images of Ray Rice in a fit of rage? He knocks out his fiancée, Janae Palmer. Anger. Now, the English language, we kind of use the word anger and mad, and we use it interchangeably. It's quite normal for kids to say, "Watch out for mom, she's mad. Watch out for dad, he's mad." How many of you have been to work before and someone will go, "Better steer clear of them. Better steer clear of the boss. They're mad today." And it's interesting because the Bible says that these two things aren't the same. In fact, it keeps the idea of anger and this madness, it kind of separates it. The Apostle Paul, he writes this, he says, if you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. Anger and that state of what I'll call frenzied madness are not the same thing. There is a way to experience the emotion of anger and not sin. There's a way to express it constructively. But anger, left unchecked, well, you better watch out. You know, Proverbs writes, says, it is better to be patient than to be a strong soldier. It's better to control your anger than to capture a city. Final analysis, the writer of Proverbs says, controlling your anger, winning the emotional battle, and it is that kind of thing, is vitally important. Anybody, let's be honest, anybody lost their temper lately, you know? Anybody ticked off with the family? Anybody honked the horn, you know, at somebody in front of you and it got a little out of hand? Hopefully not this morning. Anybody spill a little bit of venom in an email or a post? I mean, anger. I mean, what is it? You know, psychologists refer to anger as one of the most baffling of emotions. Happiness, sadness, they're easily understood. But anger, it's a different story. Anger, it's a perplexing emotion. I mean, why do some people get angry at the smallest things, and yet other people, they face something major, and they never get angry? Why is that? Is it genetics? Luck of the draw? Is it because of some childhood experience? I mean, maybe a combination? I mean, what determines the length of someone's fuse? Why do some people turn their anger inward and other people just let it fly? It's really a bewildering question. God's word has a lot to say on this topic. God has a lot to say, and there's a few things that I know for sure. One, God designed us with the capacity to feel anger. We are created in the image of God. We're created fearfully and wonderfully. Scripture says that sometimes God gets angry, that God experiences that anger. And so you and I, because we're created in God's image, we experience anger as well. And that experience of anger is not a sinful thing. Did you hear that? I mean, sometimes anger will energize us to do the right things in life. I would have to say some of the best decisions I've made in my life were prompted by a series of events that really led to a point in my life where I was angry. You know, and I just was like, you know what? I am not going there anymore. I'm finished with this. I'm going to change the way that I do things. I'm not going to spend my time that way. I'm not going to spend my energy that way. I'm not going to spend my money that way or whatever. And so I shifted. And the Bible says that being angry is not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a sinful thing. Sometimes anger is a good thing because it changes our direction in life. It changes the way we do things. The Bible also says how we manage our anger will determine if it goes bad or not. Determine if it's a good thing. In other words, how you manage your anger really is the ballgame here. And so that's what I want to learn today. You know, how to break that bad side of anger. How to manage our anger. Because if you don't manage your anger will what? It'll manage you. It'll manage you. How do you deal with anger? Well, let me say, because of time constraints, I'm going to do some broad strokes here, okay? And I want to look at two very broad categories, because most people either tend to bottle it up when it comes to anger, or we spew it out. You know, many times people that bottle it up, they tend to respond to the pains and hurts and disappointments, the letdowns in life. They tend to sort of deny their anger, you know, shove it in the closet of their consciousness. They take a prideful stance and say things like, I never get angry. I don't. And they hydroplane above anger, so they think. And what they're actually doing is taking those angry feelings, and normally they take them because they're not really comfortable with them, and they push them down. Out of sight, out of mind. It's a little bit like burying toxic waste canisters in your life. I mean, that person thinks they're underground. And because they're underground, they think that there's not a problem and that they're good. And they might be for a little while, but then a month goes by or years go by, and they start having these problems, medical problems in their life. And if you trace it back, it's because of some of the buried poison in their life. I mean, what is bottled up or what is pushed down, what's buried in life, hear this, always leaks. Always leaks, no exception. It's just a matter of how long before it starts leaking. Those internal leaks can and will poison the body. You know, it creates headaches and stomach aches and sleep disorders, a host of other problems. There are study after study after study, and they're all coming to the same conclusion that anger will take its toll on your body, and it's very dangerous stuff. Anger also will poison your attitude. It'll poison your attitude. People become irritable and bitter and short-tempered and cynical, and at some point they become removed. And they actually isolate themselves. And then anger, well, it'll poison your relationships. Now, if you're sitting next to somebody that's a bottler, I would suggest to you, you not nudge them, all right? Don't let them know you got their number this morning. People who spew their anger, you know, they let it fly full force, they throw caution to the wind, they curse God, they curse people, they curse things, they slam doors, maybe kick little dogs, you know, I don't know. But that individual, Proverbs says this, people with bad tempers are always in trouble. They need help over and over and over and over and over and over again. It becomes a cycle in life. It's a cycle of anger and then rage. And then if that doesn't do it, we get angry again. And people that spew like that, friends, not only damage their friends and their family, ultimately it is self-destructive in life. Proverbs 22 says, don't make friends with anyone who has a bad temper. You might turn out like them and get caught in a trap. In other words, the writer of Proverbs says that spewers are not safe to be around. They will cause a great deal of damage. The writer says, you ought to steer clear. You're going to get in a trap with them. Now, if you're sitting next to a spewer, even if you know them really well, I would suggest you not nudge them. And if you do, make sure you're an arm's length from them, all right? So if bottling it up, pushing it down, denying it, or spewing it out doesn't work, I mean, what do you do? Because inevitably in life, we are going to have to deal with anger. And what I want to do is I want us to help us learn how to constructively deal with anger. And instead of doing my normal ABCs, let's look at this. I want to kind of take a different approach, and I'm going to talk about a real life experience. This is something that happened several years ago, and I've shared it a couple years ago. But this time I want to unbox it, and I want to talk about it and use it for teaching. Several years ago, I bought a couple little Tyke basketball outfits, you know, and they were missing most of the parts when I opened them. And this was around Christmas. The store was crawling. And so I bring these two basketball hoops in, and I stood in line, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. I waited about 10 minutes, probably. I told the clerk what the problem was and that I wanted to exchange them. And so he tells me, he says, go to the back, get them, and we'll take care of this, no problem. And so I went to the back, and I get back there. There's none on the shelf. So then I started searching to try and find a clerk to help me. Finally, I found a clerk, and I said, look, there's none of these on the shelf. Could you go back in the back, see if they've got some in the back? And so the clerk heads back, and he's gone for a long time. And he really was. He's gone a long time. And finally, I'm like, where's he at? You know, is he going to get him off the boat? I don't know. And so I'm waiting. Another clerk comes by, and they go, can I help you? And I said, well, maybe. I said, there a guy was here. He was going to go back and check on it. And he's been gone a long time. And she said, well, what's he look like? And so I start describing him. And finally, she goes, oh, I think I just saw him on break. And so she goes, I'll go back and see. So she heads to the back. She comes back a few minutes later. She goes, yep, he was on break. She goes, he forgot to come and tell you. She said, they're out of stock. So I thanked her. As I'm walking to the front of the store, I am feeling very frustrated at this point. And I can feel it kind of welling up inside me. I mean, I can always tell because my mind starts racing. And I'm thinking, really? Is it too much to ask for a clerk to go back and look and see if something's in stock and to not go on break before they come and tell me? And then I'm thinking, I ought to go find this young man on break and give him a Bible study he will never forget. Yeah. So I'm heading to the front, get up to the register I'd been at before. I waited till they were done dealing with the customer that they were dealing with. And I said, I'm the one with the hoops. And he goes, you have to go to the end of the line. I go, I've already waited in line. The clerk that was here earlier sent me back to get another one. And he goes, yeah, I know, but the guy that waited on you is on break. And so you need to go to the end of the line. And so now I'm really feeling. I went to the back of the line, waited another 10 minutes. The whole time I'm thinking, why am I being singled out? I mean, I'm on a mission from God, and this is how I'm being treated. And, you know, it's starting to roll in me, you know. I can feel the momentum. It's building. And so I wait in line. I finally get to the front, I give him my credit card. I explained I had the hoops, I didn't have any more. Can I, you know, just want to be done. The clerk scans them, and then he's doing all the paperwork, and we're signing stuff and all that. And then he starts counting out play money to me. You know, it's the in-house cash. I said, I don't want that. I want you to credit my card back. He goes, okay. So he goes back. And after about 15 minutes, he finally goes, I can't credit it back. He says, I need a senior clerk. He said, it'll be a few minutes. He's on break. I'm thinking, what is everybody on break in this store? I'm thinking, I need a break, you know. So at this point, think about it. I've got all this stuff going on. And I thought, I believe I'm angry. I believe I've crossed that line between being legitimately ticked off and I'm just angry now. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to spew. All right, so let's X out of the story for a moment. Here's the first teaching moment. Be aware of your anger. You got to be aware of your anger. Learn to admit to yourself as early as possible that you're getting angry. You know, when you're in that difficult situation, when you're frustrated, when you can feel it happening, you know, you can feel the temperature rising, you can feel the buttons are being pushed, you can feel that fuse has been lit. The earlier you become aware, the earlier you admit it and call it what it is, the more time you have to decide how you're going to handle it. Friends, you got to be a student of yourself. you got to try to understand those indicators in your body, in your mind, in your soul, that little warning that says danger, temperature rising. You know, maybe it's an increased pulse. Maybe it's the breathing patterns. Maybe it's the stiffening of your posture or the clenching of your jaw, or your fists, or whatever. But you can feel it welling up, and you want to lash out. You want to lash out. Look for those signs. They should be tips to you that you're getting angry. Don't deny it. Don't shove it down, and don't spew it. Just own it and go, you know what? I'm angry. I'm angry right now. So back to our story. I finally, the senior clerk gets there. I fill him in. I go through all the conversation again. He goes over. He's pressing buttons, and he's reading manuals, and he's pounding on buttons. And he says, I'm sorry. I can't credit it. Would you take cash? And I'm thinking, I'll take chickens at this point. I just want out of here, you know. So he's counting the money out. He hands me $120. And I go, they were only 90 bucks. I said they were 60 bucks originally. They were on sale for 45 and 45. Yeah, I used some in-store coupons with it. He goes, oh, sorry, I didn't realize that. A few more minutes. He says, you say $90? He says, I got to call an assistant manager. I'm not sure how to do it. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is easy. It's 420s and a 10. You know, 150, 220s. You know, 320s, 210s, give me a roll of quarters. I don't care. Just, I know how to do it. And so I'm waiting again. And to make matters worse, and I can almost close my eyes and still remember this. There's a Tickle Me Elmo on the counter. I guess it was broken because it kept laughing. Just, you know. And, yeah, the thing was sinister, I'm telling you. I'm sitting there, it's like it's mocking me, and I thought, I'm going to rip his head off. Sorry, kids. So while I'm waiting there, and that little demon-possessed Elmo's laughing, I really got a decision to make. What am I going to do with my anger when I come face to face with the assistant manager? See, that's going to be the moment of truth. And so I'm scrolling through my options. I'm really determining how much of a jerk I'm going to be at this point. All right, so X out of the story. Here's the second teaching moment. Make choices about what you do with your anger. With God's help, you have a choice in the matter. Now, Proverbs says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, we have to make choices. We need to reflect on appropriate scriptures in our lives. Need to scroll through the options. Need to pray and ask God to search our hearts so that we can make God-honoring choices, so that we can make choices that build character in our life, so that we don't have to sin with our anger. So the assistant manager, he arrives. I explain everything to him. He goes, I understand. No problem. And so he goes to the adding machine. He starts adding up. He comes back. He hands me $150. I go, it's 90. 45, 45, it's 90. And he goes, no, I think it's 150. And I go, it's $90. He goes, I'm going to have to get a manager. The train is going. And there is a struggle going on. And for a moment, I thought, if they get to 300, I'm selling. Yeah. I'm out of here. It was a fleeting thought, all right? Here's third teaching moment. Listen to the Holy Spirit during those times. Now, I am not proud of what I'm going to share next, okay? But it's the truth. There were two things going through my mind on kind of parallel tracks. One of them was, I want to vent my frustration all over this guy. Someone's going to pay for the craziness around here. That was one side, all right? The other side was that quiet whisper from God. And it was kind of a spattering of thoughts. One of them, it was like God whispered and said, Damon, 30 minutes ago. Okay, it was an hour ago, but you were okay. Everything was great before you came in the store. The other thought was, Damon, get perspective. This is not a big deal. I mean, everybody's been nice and they've apologized for it. And then the thought that really flashed across my mind, and it was the manager wasn't very far from me, just a few steps away. And God's like, Damon, it's not this guy's fault. You know, Proverbs 29:22, it says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. It was like God whispered and said, Damon, take a breath. Take a breath. This guy takes abuse all the time from customers that are ticked off, customers that haven't learned to manage their anger. This guy does not need more of that from you. And as he's stepping up to the counter, you know, I make eye contact with him. And there's one thought that comes through loud and clear. And just about any time I make eye contact with someone, I talk about it often around here. You will never look in the eyes of someone that doesn't matter to God. There is a low road in life and a destructive road, and there's a high road and a constructive road, and the choice that you have to make is not to involve other people in your anger. I mean, you just have to make that choice. You know, when I looked at him, I thought, this is someone that matters to God. This is someone who may or may not have anything to do with the frustration I'm going through right now. This is someone that Jesus Christ died for. This is someone that deserves to be treated with respect and dignity and grace and love. And that's really the fourth teaching moment. All people matter to God. You know, when you're in that heat of the moment, when the pressure's mounting, when you've got a decision to make, I believe in those moments the Holy Spirit will always be whispering, come on. Handle this right. I'll help you. Heaven is cheering for you. Do the right thing. Do the God-honoring thing. You can do it. You have the power to do it. So back to the story. With God's help, this time, at least, I made the decision to not vaporize the guy, to not act like a jerk. And I think the manager must have sensed that I was just a little bit stressed out at that point. And he walks up and he goes, bad day? And I'm thinking, not till I got here. Yeah. Proverbs says, a gentle answer deflects anger. A harsh word makes tempers flare. One more teaching moment here. Remember, a kind word or a gentle response turns away anger. See, I'm doing my best. I'm on the edge right now. I'm trying to take the high road. But friends, if that manager had walked up and said, well, what's your beef, Buster? I'd have probably lost it. The writer of Proverbs is saying when the temperature's rising, when you're near that boiling point, a kind word, a gentle word will tend to cool things back down. You know, the next time you're in an argument with your spouse, or the next time things are going awry with the kids, next time something's going wrong at work, or you're having a difficulty or a very tense-filled conversation with someone, just remember that verse. It's a great verse for memorizing. Harsh words will flare it up. But gentle words, kind words, well, they kind of deflect or diffuse anger. So back to the story. He says, bad day? And I said, actually, it's been a good day. This has been a really bad experience. Now, see, you can be honest with people about your anger. And because I kind of matched his tone, I could already feel that anger inside me, things kind of cooling down, so to speak. Manager, he punches the calculator for a few minutes. He goes, yep, you're right, it's $120. The clerk that had helped me at the very beginning, he goes, I thought I was right. Here's a long story short. I left the store an hour later than I planned, shaking my head, $120. I was $30 richer, but I was exhausted. I didn't feel right about the $30, but I had given up finally. I figured it was going back to the church, so, you know, let God deal with it. But here's what I learned about myself, and I've learned it many, many times. I learned that in an hour period of time, I can go from a really good day to just stomping mad about a stupid refund. And I amaze myself because I have so much work that I still need to do that needs to be done in my heart in those situations. You know, it can just happen like that. You know, just, I don't have it all together. It's something I work on all the time. And it's something that's, you know, it's inside you. The other thing I've learned about me is that it's something I've got to manage in my life. I've got to work at it. I've got to try and get a handle on things that I've got to acknowledge that in my life. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I've learned that the Holy Spirit is capable of whispering to me when I get in those tense situations. And I've realized I am capable of listening. You know, and when I manage my anger in the right way, it hits me in a good way. But every time I mismanage my anger, it's crushing. I mean, it's crushing. I don't want to be that kind of man. I don't want to do that kind of damage, and I don't want to dishonor God that way. Friends, every time you find yourself in a situation that presses you, and we all will be in those situations, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to develop your character. You have an opportunity to grow spiritually in your life. It's kind of a graduate school, you might say, to see what you're made of. To see if you're able to break bad, if you're able to break free from the sin that often accompanies anger. And you do it by acknowledging your anger, managing your anger properly, and by making God-honoring choices. Friends, I think that's the kind of life you want to live. And I know it's the kind of life I want to live. And I challenge you with that. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. We praise you for your Holy Spirit and the power that's available to us and the encouragement that's available to us. God, I pray this, we'll all find ourselves in those tense situations. I pray that we'd make God-honoring choices, that we'd have the wisdom to just dial it down, to just listen, just allow you to guide our steps, guide our words. God, forgive us the times that we've failed, times we've let our anger get the best of us, people we've hurt, family, friends, and stranger, I don't know. God, I pray that we just always turn to you in those moments. Give us the wisdom to see it coming. God, I pray that we would honor you with all we say and all we do. God's people said, let's worship together.